prefer adult audience. Love line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest is George Lopez. George, you've known as a stand-up for many, many years, and then have had some good parts and some good movies for many, many years. And
in spite of the one you appeared with Adam, I understand. I'm sorry about that one.
You know, Adam was the best. Let me say this. You know, as an actor, you rehearse, and even as a minor actor, you know all the lines and everything. And Adam comes in, he's got his suit on, he's got his little tie costume.
And he asked, where are the cue cards?
No, he asked, is there a script or something?
No.
That was the best. Hey, is there like words that we're going to say or what?
Yeah, it was great.
I'm sure the director was impressed.
George freaked me out immediately because I was like, who's that white chick with you, George? George's like, that's my acting coach. I'm like, why is she with you? We've been working on this over the weekend. I'm like, working on what? Well, the script. Where's the script? So,
you would think, George, that is massive arrogance, but really what it is massive, total lack of esteem for himself. He doesn't believe that anyone would be interested in filming him or listening to him,
well,
and therefore...
Well, it gets better. Tell him about the looping, the whole they wanted to call you back to loop this.
Yeah, I did. Drew, I think I mentioned this a week or so ago.
Yeah.
I got a couple of phone calls saying, we need to schedule some time for you to loop. Which is, when you make a film, sometimes all the sound doesn't come out great. And you go into this great big studio, and you stand in front of a screen, and you just try to sync up your words to your mouth because
right.
It didn't come out too good. And they were trying to work this out for a couple of weeks, trying to schedule the thing, and then all of a sudden I got a call saying, forget it. We don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a great sign, is it?
Can you blame them?
Here's the problem.
Last time you showed up prepared and ready to work.
If I'm out of this movie, so is George.
That's the worst part. He ends up on the cutting room floor, so do I.
Yeah, because we're detectives and we're partners.
I understand. Listen, did we not open this discussion by me apologizing to George for him having to put up with this?
We had to snip that dude's ass all day.
Yeah.
There's a guy, big 300-pound guy stuck in an aquarium tank.
Now, this sounds like Adam's job. This is a good job for Adam.
Now, I didn't...
He didn't know what he didn't study his life.
He was getting ripe. That dude was getting ripe about 4 in the afternoon. He was ripe.
I didn't read the script, and I don't know how much of it you read, George, but it seems like they can't cut our part out of the film because it's sort of crucial, isn't it?
There's a story. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give away too much, but we do find the guy's dead partner, and without that... You're changing the storyline quite a bit.
It was the best when
whatever they have to do.
It was the best when the guy goes, "We're partners," and then Adam says, "Life partners." Goes,
he remembers stuff from it.
It was hilarious. We start busting up at the guy.
All I know is I think I called George Mijo at a certain.
You did.
I was
throwing push-ups at you, and you called me Mijo. Oh, pass him over here, Mijo.
That's right. Hey, that's not a bad scene, I'm telling you. So when is this Frank McCluskey CI? When is this movie
out? You know what,
out?
Everybody that's listening, you probably won't see Adam at the premiere. He'll probably show up the next day. It's Friday, April 26th, Frank McCluskey CI by Disney with Dolly Parton and Randy Quaid and Kevin Pollak. Really great actors in it.
Did you get invited to the premiere?
I don't know. I haven't, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, if I got, you know... They cut you out. They're not going to invite me.
Yeah, it's true. All right, I'm going to write this down, April 26th. All right, anyway, George Lopez is here to talk about the George Lopez Show, which by all accounts is a hit on Wednesday nights, 8:30 on ABC. And let me say this about George Lopez and the George Lopez Show, which I've not seen because it's only been out 1 week.
Twice.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. I saw the promo where he sat down and talked to his son, who's in the series with him, and it was actually a funny promo, which I took note of and saw a few times, and I've never seen that in a big network primetime promo. You know, the promos are really lame, like they're dancing, and the camera's under them, under a sheet of plexiglass filming up on them, and they're making idiots of themselves. George Lopez, the George Lopez Show, his kid, who's 7 years old, was sitting at a table next to him, and he said, "Danny, where do I come from?" And I'm paraphrasing here, but George took a beat and said, well, first we had a casting call, and then we narrowed you down. And I thought, wow, that was funny. That, I've never seen a funny promo for a show before.
It's great. We did a bunch of them. I got in a Jennifer Lopez dress, and we did that, getting out of the limo. It's J-Lo. Now it's G-Lo, you know, and it's me in a dress.
I've got to see that one. I haven't seen that one.
But you know what? It's so, you know, the climate for television, you know, we're on Wednesday night at 8:30, and after 2 weeks, you know immediately. Shows used to run a year, and they'd decide whether they'd bring them back after 22 episodes. You know, really, after the first episode, how you're going to do it. I mean, television is like no other medium where a show can succeed or fail in one episode.
Wow. Yeah, and it's real cutthroat, especially with the big three or big four, as it were.
That's what we always say on cable.
Yeah, it's nice and safe. Anyway, George Lopez show, success so far on ABC, yeah. And that's good for them and good for George. All right, let's, what are we missing here, Drew? Anything?
Nope.
All right, we'll take some calls. Rob?
Hello?
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just found out my girlfriend, been going out with her for about 10 months. She told me recently that she had a threesome with two other guys right before we started going out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, needless to say, that's a little bit of a shock because it's a very sharp contrast to who I thought she was.
Why did she tell you?
Well, you know, we were in bed afterwards and just kind of talking, and I just kind of, she had said something a few weeks earlier that didn't kind of click with me about, you know, some of her previous boyfriends, and I was, you know, long story short, just kind of basically kept asking and kept asking. I knew she was keeping something, but I wasn't sure what it was. And
so this is after an intimate moment, you just start hammering her for history.
Not hammering, you know, we're kind of in bed talking, and, you know, and
where does the "I kept asking her, I kept asking her" come in? Because that's hammering somehow.
All right, well, what she had said was she had only been out with, she'd ever been out with four guys.
Yeah.
And that she,
but it was all at once.
Right.
Four guys.
Was it something she chose to do, or was it forced upon her? Or was
what it was, from what she has told me since then, we've talked about it a few times.
No kidding.
Is that, it was, you know, she had this boyfriend that she'd been going out with for about 4 months, that it was strictly a sexual relationship, and he basically talked her into it.
All right.
And she didn't really want to do it, but she's the kind of person that she doesn't really like conflict, and
she's a yes person.
She's a codependent.
Yeah, and she just kept, you know, he kept on her, you know, about 3 weeks.
All right, well, if you listen to this show, you hear women getting talked into that kind of stuff all the time. Now, listen, not because they're in a relationship that's just sexual. It's because they think they're going to capture a guy, keep him happy, which is a load of crap.
All right, but, Rob, has this been a deal breaker for you now?
It's like teetering on the edge because, you know, the truth of the matter is I have very strong feelings for her.
Well, then you need to deal with this. This has nothing to do with her. Nothing. She has told you her history, and now you can either deal with it or you can't. She doesn't have to make amends. She doesn't owe you anything. You either deal with it or not, right?
Yeah.
What's she going to do with this? I get the sense you're expecting her to, like, correct this or make amends for it. No, you deal with it.
Is there some class she could go to or some chalkboard she could write on 100 times?
Do anything. My thing is, how do I deal with this? This is the reason why I'm calling.
You either got to let go or not. And if you can't let go of this, if she is not somebody you care about.
Yeah, but hold on a second, Drew. He's 26. You guys, Drew, think back to the 50s. When you were 26. To the mid-50s?
Yes, right.
Late 50s, early 60s, when you were 26 years old. Remember how much this stuff used to bother you, George?
Absolutely.
And all guys, and I don't know what's worse, being 18 or 26. I look back on my dating career, and at 26, this may have bugged me more than if I was, like, 19 or
let's
something.
Let's examine it. Why? Why would it bug you so much?
It's like testosterone production meets sort of lack of personal self-esteem,
right,
meets sort of retarded machismo.
Right. Now, for sure, you talk about any of your girlfriend's previous sexual partners, your testosterone, your machismo, all that kicks in. But what is it about the self-esteem in this one that's so troubling?
In this particular issue, or in general?
This issue for yourself, if you were 26.
Well, because everybody, your self-esteem is so precariously balanced at 26, Rob's probably is, that other people can affect you.
Right.
So if your girlfriend is a slut or if your girlfriend engages in this behavior, then somehow she's going to take you down.
Okay.
So you're now with a person who would act this
you
way.
You can't contain her.
And that hurts your style.
All right. You can't. Not only that so much, but you couldn't contain her. She might spiral out of control in a way that you couldn't keep up with.
I don't think it's about what may happen in the future. It's more about you thought you got yourself a car that had low mileage, and it turns out they pulled the pink on it. It had been pulled out of a river, and it had been...
Well, it's kind of odd that right after they were together, that this kind of discussion would happen.
Right. He's looking for trouble.
You know, it's almost like right up there with, am I the biggest guy you've ever been with type question.
Yeah, stupid question. I agree with you.
But you asked those stupid... How many stupid ones did you ask from between the ages of 18 and 30?
Infinite numbers. But listen, there's also a one-upmanship thing, too, that bothers guys that age. Because this is akin to how many people you slept with.
Yeah.
And you're in your head, and you've got your number, and she can't exceed that number.
Right.
Right.
They can't exceed your number. Now, she blows them out of the water with this.
Oof. Right. Right.
But that's a craziness on men's part.
I know, but that's the way we're constructed. And at 26, it's hard just to shut that off. Rob?
Yeah.
We know what you're going through, and we feel for you. But here's the deal. If you're really in love with her, and this is the person, you just let go, and the testosterone production decreases.
About 15 more years.
And you start growing breasts, and it's hard to get you off of the sofa, and you can no longer achieve an erection, and you have very limited facial hair, and then you just sit home waiting to die like we do, and you don't care. You walk in.
The thing that I've learned is you don't ask questions you don't want to know.
Absolutely, that's true. That's number one. That's the most important thing right there.
Adam has a good saying about this.
Less history, more mystery.
Absolutely, I love that.
I'm now at the point that if I start dating someone, I don't even talk to them. You know, they go, what are you going to order? And I point my elbow at the menu. And they go, the brisket? And I go, no, down. Well, the appetizer? And when they open their mouths, like even if they're yawning, I run out of the room. No, I just start, I plug my ears and I sing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. Don't get into it. Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
You're 12.
Yep.
What's up?
Nothing. I've been smoking pot for about 2 years, 3 years, and my parents, my mom's caught me about maybe 3 times, and my dad's caught me once, and they haven't really done anything about it.
That's interesting.
You've been smoking pot since you were 9?
Yeah, around there.
How did you get it? How did you get your first joint?
Actually, my friend gave it to me.
No, literally, George wants to know exactly how.
How? Well, okay, first, like, he was smoking cigarettes, and he asked me if I wanted to have one. I said, sure. And then that later led on to...
That joke is backfired.
Yeah.
And he had, what's it called? And he had some weed. He was like, you want to try some? I was like,
all right.
Sure.
Joseph, you know who Robert Downey Jr. is?
No. Yeah, I've heard about him.
You know, all the trouble he gets in with his drugs and stuff.
Yeah.
As they say...
There it is.
Out the gate by 8, in the spoon by noon, back again by 10.
That was Robert when he's up there.
Sure, there wasn't a Cat Stevens song he was quoting from?
And part of the reason he has trouble with his disease is that it started when he was young, like preteen. And it changes your brain chemistry at that point, and it changes your brain development. So if your parents aren't going to do anything, maybe just that information will help you do something for yourself. There's nothing wrong with pot for people that are... their brains are finished developing. There's nothing wrong with people using it occasionally, but when it becomes a problem, people are using it under the age of 16, it can actually, first of all, you can get addicted to some people pretty easily, and for others, it can really, truly affect your brain development, and you're in that school, Joseph.
Oh, no!
And that's what you'll sound like in about 2 years.
Hey, Joseph, can you just quit smoking pot?
I've tried that before, but, it lasted for 2 days.
The withdrawal?
No, he made it for 2 days, and then he got back and smoked it again.
Well, then you need some help, Joseph, really. Sorry, ask you maybe someone at school, any psychiatrist or addiction medicine specialist would be able to help you with this.
They have a junior MA meeting group?
They do, but it's hard to treat this age.
Really?
They don't have an abstraction, a capacity for abstracting a sense of self,
Well, don't you... don't you do like a little puppet show, like Mr. Dealer, Hesher guy, and then over here's Mr. Narc, and they fight like Punch and Judy or something?
That works sometimes.
Could you work out a puppet show that illustrates marijuana is bad for 9- and 10-year-olds? Would you please?
See what this is.
Why? Who are you pointing
at? Whenever he says something that we...
All right. Is a comment about something we said?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
Right, hold on. Drew wants to talk to this guy.
Okay.
You know, the thing about Drew and myself is we both love people who don't like this show and want to talk about it on the air.
We want them right away.
Yeah. Another thing that's funny about this is we don't cut anybody off. They usually say their piece and hang up. But then we try to get them back to the phone.
No, they're afraid that we're going to attack them or something.
You never see that. You never see the actual caller hang up first.
Yeah, well, no, they do.
They do on this show. We
want to engage them.
We enjoy putting it away.
Like we're going to take a swing at them or something.
Justin?
Yes.
You're 29.
What's going on? I just have a comment for the guy who had the girlfriend with the threesome.
Yeah.
There's sort of an old saying where men always want to be their women's first. And women just always want their men to be the last.
Right.
And I just thought that kind of fit to where the guy should just let it go.
Right. That's another good one. Another
good one. Yeah. The world is your oyster. Yeah. I mean, because that's all the world is.
Yeah.
I was referring to the vagina when I said oyster. Yeah. I didn't
know. Sometimes there's pearl and sometimes there's sand.
That's right. All right there, Justin.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, boy. That was disappointing.
Yeah, that was. I'm sorry.
Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
It's kind of like a crazy story, or not really crazy, but there's this guy I met like in middle school, and we hung out and stuff, but then he started dating this girl, and so it was all good for them, and then it's been like 4 years for them. We all go to the same high school, and they're like on really hard times, and I've always really liked him, but I did other people. Last, you know, couple years, but now it's like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
All three of us got it.
Everyone just leaned back in the chair. We're like,
I looked up at this guy.
Oh,
George was running lines from a table read he was at this morning. I was trying to remember, Frank McCluskey.
I wish, I really, at times like that, I really wish we were on film.
I don't know what the trigger words are that get us to lean back and stop paying attention, but.
Long time ago.
Okay. So, Sarah, you're into some guy.
Yeah.
And is he into you?
I don't know. Like, we're really good friends and stuff.
All right. So. You would know if he were into you.
Has he tried to get in your pants?
Not like that, no. But, like, we were at this party, and we both got kind of messed up, and we, like, started telling we wouldn't usually tell each other.
Like what? What kind of stuff?
I, like, went through a depression period, and I just told him about some stuff. Like, I don't know. I got really, really depressed a couple
of times. What kind of guy is this guy?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, is he the kind of guy that's real shy and inexperienced?
He's like a really, like, a friendly guy, like, a really, like, a nice guy. He's friends with a lot of people.
Who cares? I'm guessing he's not interested in you as a girlfriend, or he would have let it be known by now.
Yeah, I think so, Sarah. I think.
Don't you think he knows?
On the other hand, there's not any harm in her asking him out, is it?
No, if you haven't already made it clear to him.
Because I'm afraid, the problem is I'm afraid to make it clear to him because he's still, like, I mean, there's this, it's just like there's a lot of friends and stuff.
You can still be his friend. Listen, you're less likely to be a friend of his if you actually do go out with him and then break up. That's when the friendship is over.
I mean, that's what all my friends have been telling me, and I guess I just sort of wanted a final, like, maybe I should just, like, move on, I guess. But I've kind of always wanted something to happen there.
Your friends have been telling you that he's not into you?
Well, no, just that maybe, you know, just like, you know, we're going out to college, you know, in about, like, you know, 5 months or whatever, so maybe I should just give it up. I've always
just ask him out.
Yeah, absolutely. Take him on lunch, go to a movie, go somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird once you become friends, though, because then it's like, hey, you want to go to a movie? And the guy's like, I'll bring a few people. And you're like, you know, because you've been going out. You know what I mean? Like, how do you ask someone out to lunch?
Like to breakfast.
Dinner. Yeah, but how do you do that when you're friends?
I think there's a code at that age right now. Say, I don't mean hanging out.
Is that what you have to say?
Oh, yeah.
You have to tell them, like...
Well, if he starts going down that path...
But they're already friends, so if they've been out to a number of movies, platonically...
Even hang out.
What I'm saying is you can't just ask him to a movie anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You could ask me for a movie. I wouldn't give you a BJ at the end of it. I'd give you a hand job.
Normally you do. Why would...
You know why? Because I talked to my publicist, and she said to quit or stop talking about it on the radio, one or the other, and I wasn't willing to stop talking about it. No, you know, it's funny, too, with her friends. You know, her friends are probably trying to be very kind, you know.
Yes,
saying,
yes. Right.
Well, my friends say that maybe I ought to just,
move on.
You know what I love is women, their friends will tell them a guy might be interested even when they know clearly that the guy isn't. And guys will do the opposite.
Even when they know.
Like, you tell your buddies, like, you know Roberta? I'm pretty sure she digs me. Yeah, you're high, buddy. You are so high. Are you kidding me?
In fact, watch this. He'll go right over. Yeah. Do you like this hole over here?
And you go, well, you know, she kind of, like when we hugged, she kind of dragged her hand on my ass. She does that to everyone, dude. She did that to me. She does that to her dad. Why are guys so hell-bent on not making you feel good about yourself, especially when it comes to a woman? Like, you actually have to have intercourse with her in front of them in order for them to sign off on it. Otherwise, like, forget it.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, oh, no, please. At least you feel sorry for you, dude. That's all. George Lopez is our guest tonight. We're going to take ourselves a little bit of a break. George Lopez Show, Wednesday nights on ABC at 8:30. When we come back, we'll speak to Ben, who's 17, on meth for 3 years, getting off it and seeking treatment after this. You idiot, drunk. Did you have...
Why do you put your cup in the line of fire of my wire
You had to clunk the mic against the coffee mug and knock my water over before I just... You couldn't just hold still while I pushed that button.
No, I'm just sitting up.
But how many seconds away was I from pushing this button?
I didn't know to knock the water.
Less than three? You have to move. You have to clunk.
I have to breathe. I have to move. Sorry, I do. I do.
I was done. My finger was going for the button.
Right, and I sat up.
And you slid the mic.
And I slid the mic.
Into the coffee mug.
Down.
Unacceptable.
Yes. All right.
Unacceptable. All right. I got to talk to Drew. George, you better leave. This is not going to be after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline here. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. George Lopez is our guest tonight. George, you've seen on Ski School 3. So what was I making fun of?
What my God, hey, if you get high, you know how people get high, they drink, they go out, they get home. It's on USA every Saturday night. It's like the perfect...
Right.
Dude, I know that guy, you know, at the hamburger place, man, you know.
George is here plugging his Wednesday night 8:30 ABC show, the George Lopez Show, which is going to be airing its third episode.
Check your local listing. This week, this Wednesday, Sandra Bullock, who's an executive producer of the show, will appear as one of the employees that works at the airplane part factory.
How was
it?
How'd that happen?
Yeah. You know what happened was that we had heard that she wanted to do a show involving a Latino kind of family, like, and we got her to come and see my stand-up. And after that night, we were in business, and she was the friend. I told her it's not going to be easy because... I mean, it's been 18 years since A.K.A. Pablo. That's what you always hear.
Right.
It didn't work the last time, 18 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had Bruce Helfer, who created Drew Carey, and with Sandra there. And, you know, we kept the tone of it all about family. And you know, there's no luck involved. But thank God that the people are watching, and they seem to be responding pretty well to it.
Who was in A.K.A. Pablo?
Paul Rodriguez.
Oh, he was?
And Joe Santos and... And Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell, as
wow.
Like 7 years old.
Oh. Holy Christ.
And 19 other people that were living in the living room. And a rooster.
Oh, all right. Let's talk to Ben, who's 17. Ben?
Yeah?
What's up?
I was need to call and talk to Mr. Dr. Drew about a thing I heard on the show a couple weeks ago. They were talking about seeing stuff a couple months after coming down off dope.
Off which dope? What kind of dope?
Crank.
And what kind of stuff you seeing?
Just see stuff that's not there. Trails.
Hold on. You're seeing things that aren't there?
Well,
hey, Drew, what is the phenomenon of seeing things that are actually there? Such as eyesight?
Well, the things that aren't there go away. And then you find out they're not there.
But what if you see things that are there?
That's a good thing.
Oh, that's good.
That's normal.
All right, I got that.
But, Ben, did you do a bunch of acid, too?
Not really.
Not really. How much did you do?
5 or 6 times.
All right. Because the trailer is not part of methamphetamine, typically, okay? That's more of a hallucinogen thing.
Well, it's not really like when I'm driving down the road.
Yeah.
I see tail lights.
Oh.
Trail like underneath the car, and I just look around and I see still see the tail lights. And
yeah.
A lot of times, if I'm out looking through the woods in my bedroom, looking out the window, you know, I'll see people off in the woods.
All right. Well, that's all part of speed for sure. And those, in fact, that's even
those,
more.
Those are, by the way, called white supremacists.
And those in the woods don't even freak them out.
They have a underground tunnels.
More typical. Were these guys? Did you see like people in uniforms out in the woods?
No.
Just people.
Just movement. It's kind of movement.
Yeah, movement and.
Yeah, because
all kinds of stuff.
All right,
go out and look and.
All right, here, let's get it focused on
Holt because he's all over the place.
Yeah. The cocaine will cause you to see people in uniforms. That's the cocaine eggs always look out the window and see FBI, SWAT, police. That they're paranoid about that and they are alone.
Speed addicts
are bringing people around them, including the police, to protect them against some unknown foe. They get severely paranoid. The paranoia lasts for months sometimes. And some of what Ben is describing there is a kind of looking behind him or seeing things flash by that'll go on for quite some time. But the important thing here, Ben, is that you get off the drug, and that's going to require treatment. It's going to require many, many weeks of treatment.
So. Now, I'm 40 years old, right, and then I don't remember crank. What's the equivalent
speed.
Of crank? Oh,
that's
like whites
speed.
And stuff?
Remember? Yeah,
like,
whites.
Like beauties? And
that's all that. Yeah. Now it's sort of they smoke it or snort it and stuff. And... you want to talk about anything, Joe?
Any more? I got a great story about this wedding reception that a black beauty fell in this drink. I was a bartender and had it in my pocket.
Really?
And I leaned over to get some ice, and it fell in the drink, apparently. And the guy goes, let me have it. And I left it in my pocket, and it was gone. And I said, oh, my God, it must have fell in the drink. And there was this old lady that was doing dancing with every guy there and doing the splits. And, you know, we finally deducted that it was her drink that fell into.
She had a stroke after, is it, Jerry?
Her 7 and 7.
Oh, my God.
I miss black beauties. Are they around anymore?
Cross tops, black beauties, and all that.
You know what I was thinking about? I don't know why I triggered this, but when George said he was 40, I was watching, like, Entertainment Tonight. And John Schneider from the Dukes of Hazzard, you know, they do the celebrity birthdays. It's always some novelty celebrities.
32?
John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard, 42. Okay, today. All right, now.
I don't think so.
That's what they said on ET. Now, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm going to be 38 in about a month, month and a half. So, essentially, John Schneider is 4 years older than
me. 16 when you were watching Dukes
of Hazzard? So, like, when I was beating off babysitting, watching Dukes of Hazzard on Friday night, he was a couple years older than I was?
No.
I can't be right.
You were beating up to him, though, right?
Mostly Daisy, but I didn't control the editing. Sometimes he'd pop in, or the General Lee would, you know, go
worse,
through the scene.
It's worse to be doing the beating up, watching Dukes of Hazzard, and Cooter walk in, you know.
Yeah, Cooter was the drunk mechanic. Drew, you don't know that, do you?
No.
Cooter was great.
Anyway, Ben, you got to find some place to get treatment. This is a serious issue. One of the things we're learning about speed, people use it more than a few months. They get permanent memory problems, often long-term mood disturbances, much like just a few exposures to ecstasy.
Yeah. Maybe he turned 44. I swear it was 42. It was 4 years older than me. I was going nuts.
Impossible.
George, he can't be 2 years older than
me. No, he's got to be 50 years old.
Yeah, has to be.
Well, he could have been doing Dukes of Hazzard when he was 19.
I don't know, man. No.
And you were 15 or something, or whatever you were.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to wait for Eric Estrada's birthday and see how old he is.
39. Oh, so I guess your publicist just releases that stuff. All right.
No one's a real age. You know that.
I guess
and the
so.
Real weight and all that other stuff.
Carl?
Yep.
You're 22. What's up?
Well, first of all, Lopez, you are a funny man. I saw you a couple times up at the Ice House. Your stand-up was incredible.
Oh, right on, brother. Thank you.
And your fan following is something else. I mean, the Ice House sometimes is packed, and then your lines were back maybe around the alley. It was incredible.
That's 20 years of hammering it out.
Yeah.
One person at a time. I'm like the Dave Thomas of comedy. One burger at a time.
Well, congrats on the show.
He's dead.
Well deserved.
I understand he's 42. Thank you, brother. What's your dysfunction?
Well, mine, I'm wondering about my girlfriend. Dr. Drew, you said something that generally I think would be true for everybody, that girls would use a three-way to secure a guy that they feel iffy about. But 3 weeks ago, after 2.5 years of a relationship, my girlfriend and I had a three-way out of...
Well, they also use it to sabotage.
Oh, they always use it to sabotage. They don't secure anything.
That's what happened a week later. Actually, a week ago, she's gone.
If it was her idea, it's absolutely a sabotage. Absolutely.
She's...
All right.
Even if it wasn't, she's a chaotic person.
Tell you, let's have a three-way to get rid of you?
No, they go... They without realizing it consciously that they're in, they start feeling I'm bored. I need something more in this relationship. Let's have a threesome. And really, what will always happen from that is I'm going to get pissed off and jealous, and it's going to feel wrong, and I'm going to get out of here. It's a way to get pissed off at your boyfriend.
It's sabotage.
It's sabotage.
Oh, she loved it, but that makes sense though, because I mean her reason for wanting to leave was suddenly I became boring.
Right.
She felt that there was more to life.
You know what, Carl?
Who was the other dude? No, it was a chick? Yeah. Where'd you find her? Where'd you find her? Her best friend?
Oh.
Did you like her? Did you know her?
Yeah.
Were you turned on by her?
It was fantastic. I thought our relationship was up for some good time.
Yeah. And did you have sex with the friend, too?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, she requested it.
Because this is all out sabotage. Yeah.
Full-fledged.
And that is...
it's also addict behavior.
Where was she when you were having intercourse with her best friend?
With her best friend.
Ooh, like sucking on her boobs or something?
Her best friend is working the other end.
Of her.
Oh, it was work with her.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
We're all involved.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm going to be... John Snyder's going to be 42 today. And I'm going to be 38 in a few months, and I've never been involved with that. It really makes me angry thinking a big star. You're some just to really sink the nail in a coffin. What do you do for a living?
I'm an actor.
Yeah, but you're out of work, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. Oh man. So, I mean, what do you really do for a living?
I sell tickets for theater.
There you go. You sell tickets, and you're getting through.
Well, at what point do you just take the experience and the memory, and then move on?
Well, I guess that's what I have to do.
Was she an actress?
That's heartbreaking.
Was she an actress, too? Was she an actress?
Yeah.
Oh, so she was pretty hot, right?
Yeah.
But crazy, because all actresses are insane.
That's what I, you know.
And, Carl, this is, addicts behave like this, too. So is she an alcoholic or something?
It runs in the family.
Yeah, well, she's got the gene. This is what my addict patients all do. This is how they get out of stuff.
How hot was their friend?
They're both California girls. Good times.
Nice. Alright. I'm surprised he's not working as an actor. He's a Mr. Personality.
I don't feel bad for the guy, though. At all.
You guys are kind of pissed off.
Well, I mean, talk about
it. This guy wants to talk about how it's hurt him. You guys are like, hey, get out of here.
All right.
The more he describes the women, the more dismissive
I don't
you guys.
Like to hear him nailing hot chicks.
It's I know that.
He puts his paid his dues.
Hey, this is part of that.
This is like when little Bow Wow gets a three-picture deal.
Hey,
I'm angry. You understand?
This is painful for him. This is not good for him. And we could explore why he's involved with addicts and why he gets into that.
He's 22. She's an actress. She was hot. He jumped in on that. You know what else is going on today that I really miss the boat on?
And,
these days. And you guys have missed it as well, which is there's women who want to experiment with their friends sexually, but they don't want to admit that they're having lesbian feelings. So they say, let's have a threesome. So now they get to sexually experiment on their best friend or some chick they're hot for in the office. Meanwhile, if you're the guy who's lucky enough to be sort of the shill beard penis in this threesome, you get to service both of them, but you're just there so it's not a lesbian experience. It's a threesome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, to legitimize it.
Here's a chick who probably wanted out of this relationship, but probably wanted a shot at her hot actress friend.
No, it's a little different, though.
Too.
This is an addict.
How dare you crap on my hypothesis?
But people that are friends with benefit relationships, which is another thing we missed out on, will get into this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
When they really aren't invested emotionally in their relationship with the male, he just is used as some sort of...
But it's also, I'm saying that it's an easy way for her to get in on her friend by saying, hey, you up for a threesome?
Right.
And then once the juices get flowing, she just starts moving into whatever lesbian act she's into. Oh, my God. That just breaks my heart. Jennifer?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Hi. I've been in a relationship for 9 months, and my boyfriend told me, like, within, like, the 3 months of being with him, he told me that he loved me and all that. But the thing is, we really don't have sex. I literally have to grab his hands and make him touch me. He will just lay in bed, and I just don't understand.
You're fat.
We're a place.
Have you had sex with him?
We've had sex 4 times.
How did it go?
It was okay. It went very quick.
Did you talk with him about that? Maybe that's what he's sort of embarrassed about, humiliated about.
You know, he doesn't seem like he's embarrassed about it. I just say it's okay, you know. I just, you know, he really hasn't talked about, you know.
But one of the questions would be,
wait, how many times in what period of time?
Out of the 9 months, we've only done it 4, and I literally had to, like, throw fits for it.
Is he on medication?
No. Well, he hurt his back.
Uh-oh. Is he on Vicodin?
Blowing a dude.
No. He hurt his back.
That can happen if you don't bend at the knee.
Well, a car pulls up real fast. You know?
Yeah, you're trying to turn a quick buck.
Well, right now he takes a lot of Advil, like 6 pills a day.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
Yeah, what else? Anything else?
And I've asked him if he finds men attractive, and he said no.
What are the medications you're taking?
That's it. That's all I know.
Just the Advil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just Advil.
Can that ruin your kidneys, though, that much Advil?
It can. You shouldn't be certainly doing that unsupervised. It can cause ulcers and kidney disease and liver problems, too. But people can stay on it for many, many months and be okay, even years.
Hey, Jennifer?
Yes.
How old is he?
He's 24.
This is not
normal. He may have some childhood issues. I mean,
not normal 24-year-old behavior.
Right, really. He might have some unresolved kind of family-type things.
Yeah, his family seems very nice. Well-rounded family. Doesn't seem like anything in his childhood, you know, anything happened in his childhood.
This guy may be a fetishist, too.
What's he do for a living?
He's a salesman.
Yeah, that's always bad. That's always the worst possible.
So a fetishist.
Yeah, I've noticed that it's always, he's always been making excuses. Like, at first it was like,
I'm tired.
I'm tired. I haven't met your mom and dad.
He's humiliated about
your mom and dad.
Yeah. Really? Can't have sex with you until I meet your mom and dad.
Okay, listen, Jennifer.
What's sometimes happening here is these guys have these sort of hidden fetishes they need in order to function sexually, and they're embarrassed and humiliated to bring it out to you.
Yeah, but doesn't that guy start to begin to try to weave it in?
Right about now.
Honey, you're hot, but you'd be hotter if you put this beehive on your head.
No, I have a feeling this is, it'd be fun for me to dress up in your underwear.
Oh.
This is that one.
Are you talking to me, or are you speculating on what he might say? Because I'm not wearing underpants tonight.
Is this thing on?
The mic?
Yeah.
Oh, that had nothing to do with the call. He was just making a statement. All right. Well, I don't know. Wait. Hey, Jennifer?
Yeah.
You need to just be... The guy's a salesman, and I don't trust the guy.
You're tiptoeing around. You got to be very direct, very explicit, find out what's going on. Okay. 9 months.
Actually, I've had, like, conversations with him, like, why are you doing this? I don't understand. And he just says, well, I just don't want kids right now. That's his...
All right. Call him on his BS. All this stuff is BS.
Yeah. And don't accept his spurious answers about I don't make kids. I gotta meet your parents.
It's like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. I understand now.
My goal is to have intercourse 1,000 times before I meet any member of my partner's family, brothers, sisters, cousins, distant relatives, uncles, aunts, any of them. I like 1,000. That's the mark. And I tell them, look, we can get there in a day. Or we can stretch it out over a week. But Thanksgiving is coming around, and you want me to head over to your folks' place, you better get busy.
1,000.
That's what I say, 1,000. 1,000. Now, oral counts as a half.
Very generous.
Yeah. No, I got a whole system worked out. Four handies equals a whole. All right. That's with release, obviously. Obviously. All right, we'll take a break. George Lopez is our guest, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. George Lopez is our guest tonight. The name of his show, The George Lopez Show, ABC, 8:30 on Wednesday nights. And let's get into some more calls here. Audrey?
Yes.
You're 29?
Yes.
What's up?
Hello. Hi, George.
What's up, Audrey?
I want to tell you, I saw you when you came to Fresno.
You did at the Sorayan Theater out there?
No, it was the Tower Theater.
Oh, the Tower Theater, yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Absolutely. That was great. I love Fresno.
Yeah.
The mother country, I think, for all Chicanos.
Fresno, really?
Fresno, Cesar Chavez.
You know, and yeah, that's where all the migrant farm workers
absolutely.
Go, right?
That's right.
Well, if they didn't do it, who would?
There you go.
White guys for like $40 an hour.
That's right.
Yeah, people say, you know, well, that head of lettuce would cost you like $28. I'm like, well, you know, for white guy picked it. I think they pay a little extra, you know.
Yeah, if they picked it, they'd probably just pick enough for them, like seven, and then they'd leave.
Oh, you don't eat the stuff you pick?
No.
Oh, you put it in a basket or something?
Yeah.
Oh, screw that! No way. No way. All right, Audrey, what's up?
Okay. Last night, me and I'll call him my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
We were having sex. And we were doing it doggy style, and it sounded like air was coming out of my vagina.
That would be air.
Okay, but I want to know, like, why?
Because he was pushing air in.
He was pushing air in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know when you take your hand and you cup it and you put it under your armpit and you start flapping your arm?
It makes that farting noise?
Yeah.
I can't make that noise, though.
No.
Well, you can't there in your arm, but you can down where you're...
Right. Same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why do you think it was making the sound?
Well, that's what I thought, but, I mean, it's like never...
She sprung a leak. She's deflating.
Yeah. Why don't you... You're going to have to eat a can of Fix-A-Flat. Or you spray it right up the coaster. What do you do?
Okay. Well, either way.
Oh, either way. Yeah. It's right on... There's a picture right on the canister there. You can work that out. All right there, baby.
So that's what it was. That's what it's air, yeah.
He's pushing air in there.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
It has a name, even.
Were you embarrassed?
No, I wasn't embarrassed.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we were laughing, but I wasn't embarrassed.
That's the real comedy, that the more you laugh, the more it comes out.
Yeah.
And when you laugh, the rhythm of your laugh, the air comes out in that same rhythm.
And it always throws you off because you got that game face on. You're like, I'll give it to you good. Okay, baby. Hold still there, and I'm gonna work you, baby. I'm gonna work. You're gonna forget you're ever with another. All right, hold on. Now wait a minute. I'm losing my right. Now listen, Mama. I'm telling you, I don't do a lot of things well, but one thing I do is I know how to please. Okay, all right. Listen, we gotta stop. This is too. This. I can't focus anymore. It's tough to have the game face on and be hearing the whoopee vagina in the background.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah. It's just you lose it immediately. And there's something about laughing.
You start cracking up, right?
Yeah, something about laughing and sex that don't work right together.
The mood is done.
Yeah, like...
Well, especially you try to be candlelight and you end up blowing the farts end up blowing the
candle
in the room.
Are you here? Are you still in the room, honey? Queef once if you're in the room. Quick, twice if you can find the door. it ruins it. And the thing that's funny too is both people pretend like they didn't hear the first one. You know what I mean? There'll just be that little beat, like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, no. Oh yeah, yeah. But the second, third one, now you got to talk about it.
Yeah,
it's out in the open.
Yeah. Where does that word come from? Is that a medical term?
No, it's not a medical term. But I think women can sort of laugh along with it a little more than men. Men,
yeah.
the laughter doesn't go at all. No, 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 no. You can't laugh at me. We can't laugh while this is going on. That's serious business.
Right.
And women can kind of laugh, you know.
Right.
And they get kind of angry with you, too, when you don't want to, like, break the rhythm and laugh with them.
Right. But, again, it's that sexual game face you have on.
It's a guy thing, yeah.
Right.
Male thing.
Yeah, let's talk to Joe, who's 16. Joe?
Yeah, hey.
What's up?
George, sometimes I'm very proud of this show. It's one of those moments.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Joe?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I've been listening to your show for like 3 years. I really love it. You guys should keep on going forever. I love this show.
Thanks.
When I was about 12, my nipples started getting like kind of, I don't know, like big. And they got kind of like lumps behind them.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, they... kind of died down, the lumps went away, and then one of the nipples got normal again, but the other one still to this day, and I'm like 16.
All right. Do you smoke much pot?
No, I've never done that.
All right, well, this can happen sometimes. It happens at the time of puberty, just before your testosterone levels start climbing. Your adrenal glands put out a bunch of hormones, some of which is converted to estrogen, and you get nipple growth in response to that. Usually that's recedes. George, I've never seen this before. Huh? It recedes after your testosterone levels start climbing up later in puberty. But in your case, it didn't recede completely on one side, and there actually are surgical repairs for that if you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jonas Adamsby, let me be straight up with you, brother, when I tell you that a man at your age has to take this kind of medical emergency very... I'm just doing that to get Drew going. You're fine. That's a puberty thing.
But is there any other way that I can get rid of it? Like, I've tried... My doctor said it might be like caffeine or something.
No. There's a medicine called tamoxifen that I've never heard of them using for this, but
you might talk to an
endocrinologist. They might try something like that, but it usually is a surgical thing, frankly.
All right, we're going to take a break. George Lopez is our guest tonight. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. George Lopez is our guest tonight. George is on the George Lopez Show Wednesday nights on ABC at 8:30. And on this Wednesday show, you can catch Sandra Bullock on that show. Drew's a Sandra Bullock fan, are you not?
I am.
Yeah, I am too. So you can watch that, 8:30, ABC. Sarah Silverman, who's this really super funny chick who's on Greg the Bunny, and did some work with us on Crank Anchors, which is our new show, which will be out in June sometime. We'll be in here tomorrow night. Paul Tracy, the race car driver, is in here for the Toyota Grand Prix. And he'll be in here on Wednesday. Tony Hawk, the skateboard maniac. Jeremy Pivens, who's done more movies than have actually been produced. I figured that out last night. He's actually done more films than have come to the theater or video.
He's really good friends with John Cusack, so they do movies together. And John Cusack put him in. I mean, I love Say Anything, and he's in that.
Yeah, that was a good movie. You see that movie, Drew?
I think so.
No, you didn't.
What was it about?
John Cusack was like just a good regular guy who was really in love with this Ione Skye.
Who was the valedictorian in high school and...
It doesn't sound like
that. It's a Cameron Crowe
finder, right? Go back to Finder later.
No, no.
Drew, he's holding the stereo.
You should see this.
Yeah, he's holding the stereo. He's had Peter Gabriel's playing.
Drew, you should.
It's a great movie.
Watch this.
Great,
yeah. All right, then.
Poor Tony Hawk, though. My kids just now know who he is, and they're going to send me with like arms full of stuff they want him to sign.
See, now, what were the odds of a guy like Tony Hawk existing when we were kids, and we used to make our own skateboards out of, you know, some wheels and a board and hammer, and now it's become this huge industry. And a guy like Tony Hawk, I mean, he's multi-millionaire. All the kids know him, and the adults know him because of the kids.
He's selling his video product, too, which is insane.
And his games.
And his video games.
Video game. Kids, Mike is
That's what I'm saying, huge. His video product.
I thought you meant like there's some sort of video.
I'm sorry. It's video games.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like George would get into talking about how the 70s sucks as much as we would. You know what I mean? We started going down that road slowly.
That's where I'm from, man. Yeah. The 70s.
Yeah. Everything sucked in the 70s. They should just call it the suckindies, not the 70s. All right. Let's talk to Trevor, who's 19. Trevor?
What's up, guys? Hey, what's Alex Baldwin. Last week was great.
Alex Baldwin.
Alex.
It was good.
Back on, man.
No chance.
No, he'll come. He gave me a cell phone.
He crapped in the bed.
Was that him?
Yeah, remember he told a story about it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, we'll get him back on.
Hey, George, one question. Are you still going to be doing stand-up since your TV show, or are you going to take a break now?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think Cinco de Mayo weekend, we start that whole summer tour, and I'll be in Vegas at the Paris Hotel, but I'll be around, man. I got my website, georgelopez.com. We'll have my schedule on it.
All right, that's cool. Okay, to my question. My cousin, she's 2 months pregnant, and she's still smoking and drinking every day.
Every day.
Well, smoking, at least, not drinking every day, but she still drinks on the weekends.
Well, can you just go out on the web and pull some of the data for her on low birth weights and preterm labor and that kind of stuff?
Does it happen all the time? Or
it's very common.
Very common?
Yeah.
And does it matter if she's 2 months, like if she goes... she still drinks and smokes 6 months. Is it greater or?
It's the longer she goes, the more the risk. So pull out some of the data off the web and show her so she doesn't. It's not just you mouthing off at her. You can hold her hand or something.
How old is she?
I think she's like 24.
How much is she drinking?
Excuse me?
How much is she drinking?
On the weekend, I'm really not sure how much she drinks. She probably drinks a couple beers here or there, but she smokes every day.
Yeah, well, can you have some wine? Can you have like a glass of wine?
Yeah. You can at 6 months, yeah. And it's debatable whether that really hurts anything. It's not a good idea to have anything. You really should be pristine when you're pregnant. Whether or not a glass of wine a day is going to harm things.
No, it won't. I know it won't because this is a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all our moms were probably slamming heroin. My mom was probably doing like a horse tranquilizer while she was pregnant with me, and bouncing,
dyeing their hair.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, there would be generations upon generations of like three-legged retards. But
think about who we talked to now.
But we talked to some two-legged retards. Okay. Drew. Right. Be fair, Trevor. Here's the problem in my mind, which is, hey, man, if you can't pull it together for 9 months, what kind of mom are you going to be? It's not so much that the glass of wine is going to kill the kid or the cigarette's going to kill the kid. It's, boy, this is like showing up drunk and late to your first day of work.
And, you know what I mean? And there's a simple...
You ain't going to make a model employee.
And it really should be telling her that she can't stop. And that's what we call addiction. When there are consequences and you don't stop, it means you can't. And that's the time to really look into treatment for that. And, indeed, if you are still active in your disease, you're not going to be much of a parent.
All right. Let's talk to Diana, who's 18. Diana?
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sick.
All right.
Anyways, first I want to applaud you guys on the fact that you guys are so mean to your callers, yet they still call back, like, all the time. I had to wait, like, call for, like, a half an hour before I even got through. So that's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Bitch.
See, look,
see
I'm
that?
On the phone.
Yep.
Oh, damn it!
You didn't hang up. What's
there
up?
my problem was I'm not, like, I don't necessarily consider myself an alcoholic because I don't, like, drink every day.
So what is the definition of alcoholism then?
Well, like,
see, because I'm an addictionologist, I treat alcoholics every day, and nowhere in my definition does daily alcohol have anything to do with it.
No, leave her alone.
No, that's the fact. Then our daily alcohol has nothing to do with the definition of alcoholism.
Okay, so then...
But it helps. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this is the thing. Like, when I drink, I don't drink all the time, but when I drink, I, like, can't just have, like, one or two. Like, I just have to get totally trashed.
Well, how often do you get totally trashed?
Like, probably, like, 2 times a month.
That's not bad.
It's like I know that I shouldn't be doing this, and like once I get buzzed and once I get drunk, I just keep going and going, and to the point where I do things that are just out of control. Like
you do
like
this.
What? Hold on. What are you doing?
Well, I just got drunk this last weekend or whatever, and I started screaming at everybody and telling them like to get the F away from me, and like I started stripping and everything, and I've had sex with people that I shouldn't have had sex with.
Oh, now we're talking.
So.
Well, Diana, interestingly enough...
So if you're at the party, you're like, oh, man, this bitch is screaming. We got to get... Wait a minute. She took her top off. Hold on.
Start screaming. You know, you got to hang around.
Stu, put the pool that down. Hold on. She's taking her top off. Now, just relax. Let's not do anything.
Why are you acting stupid like that?
And interestingly, Diana, the definition of alcohol is based on the consequences of your drinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about how much you drink or how often you drink, but the consequences. And so you're developing cumulative consequences. Unfortunately, binge alcoholics are some of those difficult to treat because you feel as though you can control it.
And
you sort of have that illusion because it's only intermittent that you're using. But it will begin to sort of string together more frequently as time goes along.
And you're bad. You're bad at 18, too. I mean, in that now, I mean, I know when I'm lit. And I stop drinking for like 15 or 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And I know, like, now I know I've thrown up. Drew's always surprised at this number. I think it's a very modest number. But I've thrown up 60 times because I've drank too much. And eating, by the way, too. I've learned this somewhat with eating, too. Remember we used to eat and you got a stomach ache and you had to lie down?
Eat till you throw up.
Or you threw up. You know what I mean? Like one time I ate at a buffet in Vegas. I had to stop. I couldn't make it from the buffet back to the car. I had to stop at the nickel slots and tell my girlfriend to go get the car. Like, I had to undo my pants and, like, lie down by some slot machines. Like, I made a mistake. You know what I'm talking
about?
That is
your mom's crazy upbringing.
You didn't do that? You never did that?
No, that is that crazy upbringing you had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, when you're really poor and it's like $10.95 for all you can eat, you just figure
go for it.
Like just some Biafran kid when they got dropped off the meal truck, you know, just go insane because you're not going to see it again. But with the booze, I would be loaded at 18 and still go like, so this guy get another six pack of Mickey's, come on, and you're already heated, and you don't know what to do. And I think Diana has some of this in her.
Well,
now, how much of it is alcoholism and how much is just sort of being stupid at 18 and not knowing your limits?
There are two ways to evaluate this. A, does she have a family history of alcoholism? If the answer is yes, she's alcoholic. That's the probabilities.
Right.
B, the other probable way this happens is people that have social phobias get going with the alcohol to deal with these social situations they can't deal with and get carried away.
Right. Diana?
I don't have any social phobias. Like, I'm an outgoing person and everything. But alcoholism runs in my biological family.
All right, so there you go.
Diagnosis
made.
Okay, so do you have any numbers or anything you can give me so I can...
Well, just go to an AA meeting.
If you're interested. I mean, 12-step is what works for alcoholism.
And okay.
Individual therapies at this stage in your disease actually can also be useful. So you might want to get yourself a therapist and work on it. And if that doesn't hold you, then 12-step becomes the way to go.
Lisa?
Yes?
I told my therapist I wanted him to start putting a pony keg in the room.
Does he sit behind you while you lie on the couch or does he sit face to face with you?
He sits on me while I lie on the sofa. He straddles me. Is that wrong? He says he can absorb more information if he's actually, touching his groin to mine. At first it bothered me, but now I sort of enjoy it. Yeah, there's no chair, just one sofa in the middle of the room, and he straddles me. Lisa?
Yes?
But he doesn't charge me, so I got to give him that. I'm not even sure he's a therapist, actually. Lisa, you're 19. What's up?
First of all, my mom died about 2 years ago, so I decided to take this semester off school, and I was living at home with my dad.
Decided to do what?
Take the semester off school.
Okay.
And, because he's been really lonely, and I didn't want him to be by himself.
Are you in college or high school? What's the deal?
College.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been out of town for about a week, and Sunday night I was, like, looking through some of my mom's old things and stuff, and I found, like, a huge stack of porn pictures he printed off the internet.
That he was keeping with your mom's stuff? Or
like, next to her old Bible.
Ew.
And it's not, like, normal stuff. It's people peeing on each other and really disgusting things like that.
What else? We've come to understand that's a pretty common fetish, that one. Although hard to understand, but...
Yeah, what else? Barn animals?
No. But it just really freaks me out.
Just urination?
Yeah.
Any number two action?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, that's now you've now crossed the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Vomiting. Disgusting things.
What? You three wasn't, like, keeping for novelty for, like, funny stuff? Yeah.
I don't...
It wasn't,
and
I mean?
He also hasn't... Like, I found a list of DVDs that he's ordered. He's ordered, like, 50 different DVDs.
Right.
And...
What types of DVDs?
The same kinds of things as the pictures.
This is a lesson to our listeners. Once you've left home, do not look back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just completely freaked out. I packed up all my stuff and left.
I go back to my parents' house once a year for Thanksgiving, and I come in like a hostage being transported through Beirut. I have them kidnap me. I don't know where they live. They send a car. Yeah, a van drops me off. I sit naked at the table. I'm, again, blindfolded. My hands are duct taped behind me. My mom puts turkey and stuffing into my mouth, and then I get spun around and dropped off in an open field the next day. I have no idea where they live. I couldn't find their house. I don't know what's inside of it.
Now, why is that? Now with a question like this, and the losing her mother, and the could it be things that were going on before?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What did your mom die from?
Killed herself. She found the DVD.
She had cancer.
What kind?
The tongue.
Head and neck?
Tongue and neck.
Was she a smoker?
No.
No smoke? Drinker?
Nope.
Wow.
Makes sense.
Did she dip?
Nope.
And that's pretty much only tobacco and alcohol users.
We don't know why.
All right. Wow. Well, that's tragic. And how do you know what these DVDs are? Do they?
It was a whole list of things you'd ordered off the internet, and it had all the titles.
Yeah.
All right. So your dad has come home now, and you've been gone, or is he back?
He is not back yet. So, I left him a note and stuff.
Uh-oh.
Told him I left, but.
Oh, but the note didn't say, "Have fun beating off to some German guy cramping on his dog."
Well, it did say I found the thing
Well,
the main problem that I have with it is that, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. And this is just how can you tell me all these things and then I can't find that?
All right. Well, listen, Lisa, here's the deal. You're 19. Mm-hmm. You're an adult now. I know there's a lot of tragedy that has gone on in your life recently, but sometimes your parents aren't exactly who they proclaim to be.
Yeah.
And... You know, there's
sometimes they're proclaiming to be that to compensate for stuff like this.
I think they are, and I don't know if were your parents good parents.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong, or nothing totally wrong with the parents saying, "Look, I got some effed up thoughts in my head, and what I do behind my bedroom door is my business. But you know what? I'm going to raise my kids properly. I'm going to give them some spirituality, some religion. I'm going to put some food on the table. And I'm going to send them to college."
Yeah.
And then you stumble on to this
sidebar
porn arsenal that this guy was keeping, but he was keeping it from you, and that's the point. He's a human being. He did a good job of raising you, and I think you're just way too attached. You're way too enmeshed
thing. You're way too focused on your dad maintaining the idealized role that you need him to maintain.
Yeah,
the fact is he is imperfect. He is human, and this is a you issue. This is a Lisa issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that the way you idealize others, and of course, you know, they of course had a role to play in why they needed to be idealized by you, and that's going to come crashing down. But that's dealing with reality and reality in terms is part of what goes on between the ages of 18 and 22.
All right,
and that's
so
part of this transition.
Go back to college.
You get it. I'm sure she's in one of the Washington D.C. schools. They have great counseling services there for their.
But I don't think you want to. I mean, she left and left a note. I think you might want to just go back and get the note and have the conversation with him, and not a confrontational conversation, but kind of a.
Well, I'm guessing he found the note, or is he?
He's not back yet.
He
hasn't found it yet.
Lisa,
yeah.
He's not seen the note yet.
No.
Go get the note.
Yeah. Where are you in school now?
I was at James Madison.
Where
but I'm. Taking the semester off.
All right. Go just retrieve that note.
Yeah.
You don't need him. You don't need him to find that note. All right?
Well, the thing is, there's no way you can have a civil conversation about it.
I wouldn't have.
I'm going to details, probably just talk about what some of the things that you found.
Retrieve the note and don't have the conversation with him.
Maybe, again, talk to somebody about this, get a safe environment to sort of measure what you're going to do before you let this thing blow up. Both of you had a huge loss.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose each other.
Go get the note and don't get into it with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's his private business, all right?
Okay.
It doesn't make him a bad guy. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jesus Christ. See, this is my parents were smart. When I was like six, they both looked at me and went, "Look, we're horrible people that really don't look up to us." You want to look up to someone, go to the park and find a hobo. This is your mother's a disaster. Your father's he's a shell of a man. Really, really, it's going to be nothing but disappointment for you.
I felt like I was living in a hotel, really.
Then did you
no
have
contact? Really, just my own room and different. Like they'd watch something in their living room, and I'd be in completely other room by myself watching another. Sometimes even watching the same show.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But in a different room.
Did you, you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
Jesus Christ. You're the only Mexican, the only child I've ever heard of.
I heard they give you your own show.
They were thinking ahead. And so they had you and your parents stay together?
No, they divorced. That's what it was. And then my grandparents raised me. And then, you know, my grandfather worked really hard. And my grandmother worked hard. And, you know, I was a latchkey kid even before I knew what that meant. I thought it was good to have your own key to your house, you know. These other guys were going into the kitchen windows.
So
I had a key.
Your parents, you got dropped. How old were you when you got dropped off at your grandparents?
Ooh, I was like 2 months. My whole life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your grandparents raised you
whole life? Yeah.
The good thing about the Mexicans, Drew, is the grandparents are only like 8 years older than the kids. So it's kind of cool. It's like your grandparents are raising you, but they're teenagers.
They're still young. That's right.
Like, yeah, you're in high school, and they're in their early 20s.
You can use his ID to get into clubs.
All right, well, look, you turned out okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hank?
Hi.
You're 15. What's up?
I'm really, really depressed. Don't know where to go.
All right, well, you've come to the wrong place, Hank. So you're really
Do you have a doctor?
Huh? No.
Have you ever seen a doctor?
Once, like a while ago.
Was that somebody you could go back and see again?
Not without my mom finding out. I don't really want her to find out because she'll go get all like, you know, ushy-gushy. Oh, are you okay? And that really pisses me off.
That's why you're depressed. All right. Well, how about a school? Are there counselors or anything you can talk to?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
Well, it's like there's counselors, but it's not like real counselors.
Yeah, but they could start the ball rolling. They could refer you to people nearby and whatnot. That's how you go about this.
Sounds a little angry, this young lad.
Very angry. Where's your dad?
He's in Virginia.
Why?
Because my parents are divorced.
So he's just out of your life now? I completely get where his dad from this kid. Just no male containment.
Yeah. And your mom is like working and having trouble keeping after you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the message I want to send to you, young Hank, which is what happens oftentimes in this situation is the guys and the girls start idealizing the piece of a hippo flop parent who decided to cut out and leave town and start taking it out on the one parent that's gutting it out, hanging out, doing the right thing, going to work and trying to raise you. The other person becomes some saint, and you start beating up on the one who's paying the bills and doing the day in and day out labor of raising a child. And I would ask that, I know you're angry, and I think your anger should be directed at your dad.
Oh, it is. Trust me.
Good.
I hate him. He's an asshole.
Good. That's my boy. I mean, that's that other guy's boy. But that's good. But your mom is getting a fair amount of that anger, too. And remember, your mom is the one that stuck with you.
Well, you know, I try not to get pissed off at her, but sometimes.
Okay. But also, do you not have a lot of friends?
I have friends.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
They wear black and skateboard.
How are the girls? How are the ladies doing?
Not very well in this country, but, you know.
I see. But you got that ham radio, and you're meeting a lot of women in Nova Scotia. And
no, I lived in a different country for a while.
Where? Oh, really?
Where?
England.
Hmm. And you did all right with the ladies there?
A little more than all right, I could say.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you move back to this country?
Halfway through last year.
James Bond.
14.
And you were just banging your way through England before that?
Yeah.
This guy's got a great story, by the way. Well, I wish I'd done this.
Yeah, that's where you can get depressed. You know, you're banging your way through England. You move to Prescott, divorce.
29 palms.
Yeah. Is this, it's like, is she in the military, the mom, or something?
I don't know. Hey, what's your mom do?
She's a teacher.
I see.
How'd she get from
England to 29
Manchester,
palms?
Yeah.
Well, my dad got transferred over there, and I just went to go live with him.
No, All right. All right, Hank. Connect with your friends, do well in school so you can go off and study in England again one day.
Yeah.
Take it easy on your mom. Don't do any drugs. Stop being so angry and get a job and fight to keep it. All right. I don't know what to say.
Good advice.
He's an angry guy, this Hank.
He needs to talk to the school counselors. He needs some help with this.
Yeah, but you know what? Some guys are just pricks. I mean, look, we know a lot of pricks as adults, right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't they start off as prickish 15-year-olds? I mean, doesn't God put a certain amount of pricks on the planet?
It turns out this is when you can make them unprick.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't we need a certain amount of them roaming the earth?
I guess so.
Hey, you're a prick. Didn't you see running into Hank when Hank was like 31 and just sold some business and made himself like $9 million or something, and he pulls up in a car that's twice as nice as yours? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's just that guy. Maybe I'd embrace his prickitude and just go with it.
Prickitude.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. All right. Get some help there, Hank, but try to come across as a little less perky. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Jorge Lopez is our guest tonight from the Jorge Lopez Show.
That's right.
Which is on ABC, 8:30 on Wednesday night.
Right after My Wife and Kids.
That's right. Which is doing pretty well, too.
Pretty good,
right?
Show at ABC. Yeah, ABC has a little trouble because they become like the fourth network now. You know, they had that whole Roseanne thing. They had the whole Home Improvement thing going. And then those shows kind of went away. And CBS, if you remember at that time, really had nothing going on Monday. And then now, you know, CBS is huge.
Oh, it's just one big cycle. If I was ABC, if I was number four, I would say, look, everybody, I would call a big meeting. Let's do nothing. Just sit around. We'll be back on top. A year and a half, 3 years. This whole cyclical thing. And that Roseanne, I'll tell you, she's such a talent. I can't believe she's not back on television. What an amazing comedic talent she was and is. What a genius that woman is. I cannot believe that every other show she's attempted has failed horribly since her sitcom. I am absolutely shocked by that, Drew, because she's such an amazing person. She's such a funny, funny, gifted, talented person. I mean, if you've seen her movies, if you've seen her other projects, Drew, you know she's a truly, truly gifted person. You couldn't keep her down for more than another 12, 16 years. She's going to pop back up again. She is so done, by the way. It's just over. Oh, she sucked back then. She still sucks. Please. And you know the great thing is, too, she was such a colossal bitch, but her ratings were so great that everyone just had to kiss her ass. That must have been horrible.
She fired everybody.
Yeah, she's such an amazing talent. And Brett Butler, too. He'll be back any day now. Any day. You can't keep that kind of talent down.
They gave up the golden key, man. I mean, it's such a... I mean, to when we're doing the shows, we're doing these four episodes, and not that they kiss your ass, but it's just such an opportunity to create, and you know, you surround yourself with good actors, which they both did,
right?
And then you just can use that power to abuse people and to fire people and to really kind of be the worst enemy of your own show is horrible, because it's so rare to get all that together, that mix of
and are you listening to that? Remember, I used to yell at everybody at the Love Line set.
Oh, they deserved it.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I yelled at people. Yeah, sure. Why not? Well, you know what I yelled at them for is when they were trying to tell me what to do. They just shut up. I wouldn't have yelled at them.
Or if they made you wait more than a couple minutes or change the socks.
I'll tell you some of the stuff I yelled about. For instance. We were trying to have Pam Anderson on the show, and Pam Anderson was late. Remember this, Drew? Yes,
this was a good rant.
Pam Anderson is late, and Pam Anderson's publicist, and we did Donnie and Marie with Pam Anderson like a month earlier, and of course Pam Anderson was on before us, but since Drew and me are so whipped, we were there an hour before that, and we had to wait until Pam showed up to go on and do the first segment until we went on, and they had to delay the show.
Because she was late.
And Pam Anderson's, so we were in the dressing room, and, you know, we were taping four shows a day.
Loveline TV.
Yeah, Loveline, the TV show. And so if number two show or number three show got held up, it would hold up the whole day. It's not like we could just skip ahead and finish off shows four or something and then move back to it. So we're getting held up, and it cost quite a few dollars. You got the audience and the grips and the camera people and us, and everyone's waiting around. So I finally said to her publicist, "Hey, where's Pam?" And she said, "Oh, she's late to everything." And I said, "Don't you think that's a problem?" And she said, "Well, you know, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, why don't you tell her to quit being late?" "Oh, that's not my job." I said, "Sure it is." "Oh, no, it's not." I said, "Listen, you're her goddamn publicist. You tell her not to show up late, being inconsiderate. You're holding people up. We've got a whole production here, and everyone's sitting on their ass waiting for Pam Anderson, such a bona fide talent, too, to show up." Well, I'm not going to tell her. I said, all right, do your job and yell at her and tell her, hey, bitch, get in here when you say you're going to be here. You're screwing with everybody.
Well, then you made an even smarter statement. You said, if you're not doing that, you're enabling her. It's
yeah.
your fault.
I said, the reason she's late every week to every show is because you pussies don't say anything. I said, oh, but Pam, are you okay? We're just
you're
glad you're here.
Okay,
no, someone's got to get in her face and say, hey, honey, this is a business, and this is totally unprofessional. And you're costing people money, and you're holding people up.
And then he finished saying that and went, okay, we're starting the show now.
We're starting the show.
Now.
And they're like, but Pam,
and he goes,
but Pam's not here.
The director of the production. Now. God damn, we're starting, and we started the show.
It was perfect, yeah. And it was great. I was like, to your battle stations. And everyone's like, but Pam's not here. And I'm like, good. We'll start the show without her, and then she can show up halfway into the show, and she can get a message that, hey, when you're late, you miss out on things.
I love that. Announced at the beginning of the show that she's not here. She's
so,
late. And we start.
So what ended up happening was, is yeah, because here's the deal. If everyone waits for you, if let's just say there's an 8. Here's my point. Let's say the movie said it started at 8. But you knew that the movie wasn't starting until you showed up. Well, you'd be getting there at 8:15, 8:20, and that would eventually lead into 8:45, and I'd be there. Eventually, I'd be there high on heroin about midnight. Trying to watch 8 o'clock showing, because if they're not going to play it until I get there, then screw everybody.
Right.
So the only way you get used to it, if you start missing things. I said, let's do it. So I yelled at everyone, go get, we're starting. So we started the show, and I said, look, Pam Anderson is not here. She's supposed to be here. She's our guest tonight. We're going to start the show. We're going to take some calls. And when she does show up, we'll gladly bring her in here. And then the publicist started yelling in the booth. You don't remember this part? And we had to stop. That's when I went ballistic. No. We had to stop because we weren't allowed to talk about Pam being late. Remember
on
that?
On camera?
Yeah, on camera. That. Yeah. That's when I started to go ballistic, and I started screaming at the publicist to get her the squirrely. It's either, I don't know if it was some gay guy or just some crazy chain-smoking chick, but just these publicists are such horrible, wretched individuals. That I threw her out or whatever. That's the only time. Well, that's one of the only times I really, really went.
Well, it was just one of the times, to be fair.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Not one of the only times.
But people don't want to do a real TV show.
I think that's legitimate. I think you're defending the show. I mean, the production of the show. I mean, it's good for the. Hey, if I were on your crew, I think it'd be great that you were doing that.
Yeah.
You were going on without her.
Thank you.
No, we thought
you
it was.
You want to work?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, you got a TV show. All right.
Next caller!
All right. So, we had to stop and then wait for Pam Anderson to show up anyway, didn't we, Drew?
Well, she was, like, showing up right at that moment.
No, she showed up, like, 10 minutes later or something. Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Hang a second, Melissa. My recollection is that's how we stopped, because she was, like, well, pulling up.
No.
Okay, I won't.
We stopped because I could not say she was late and not on time. And I said, we're gonna give her a little negative reinforcement here by starting the show. That's what's not.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Melissa?
Yeah?
You're 15. What's that?
Okay, so my dad has beaten me before and pretty badly. He sent it like 3 or 4 times, each time really bad. And every time my whole family has known about it, but they have all said that it was my fault that I provoked him.
No such thing. It's illegal. It's damaging to you. It is not parenting.
Well, it's like saying
out of control.
It's like saying you wore short skirts. You provoked
a
guy raping.
Yeah, that you got to call.
No, I'm saying that's true.
Yeah,
I'm saying back.
You got a child. You got to call Child Protective Services. Can I give you a number?
Well, okay. The last time was Thanksgiving, and it like drove me pretty much insane for like 2 days.
Well, how did you provoke it? In their mind.
No, you don't want me to tell you?
No, I do. I'm just saying, people say you provoked it. What
do they suggest?
Throw a knife at him or something?
No. I want him to go somewhere a couple nights ago or something, or a couple nights before, and he kept saying no, but I really wanted to go, you know, typical teenager thing. And so I went to my room, and my friend was in there, and I just look at her, and I'm like, F you, Dad. And I guess he was down the hall, and he heard me, and he stormed in the room, and he just started beating me.
Oh, jeez.
Holy, you can't use the F word there, Melissa. In front of her friend?
Mm. Evidently. Well, I'll ask her.
Melissa? Is she back here, Anderson? Yeah, Melissa?
Yeah?
So you can't use the F word, even if you're describing a hellacious beating.
No.
My bad.
Was your friend there while he was beating the F out of you?
Yeah. And then my brothers, well, two of my brothers were standing in the doorway, and my brothers are really big guys, and they were just standing there not doing anything, and I could see them, and I'm just, I don't know, it was horrible.
Well, they just stood there and watched him do it?
Pretty much.
Did you ask them why they didn't have him stop? Or
no, I never, no.
And what do you have any bruises or contusions or anything?
I was, my lip was busted up, and I was very, my nose was bleeding like crazy, and I went practically out of my mind. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. Let me talk to my peanut gallery here. Mm-hmm. This guy's a horrible guy.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa's a little wacky,
yeah,
too.
But that's not going to help the wackiness. I mean, she needs containment.
Right. No, no, no. No, I'm not saying that this is okay by any stretch of the imagination. Everyone is telling her, though, that she provokes it, which there's no excuse for. But I'm wondering what's going on with her, too. Like, I mean, I wonder if there's some perception. Think there's a perception problem here? I pictured it when she said her brothers were standing around watching.
It was enough to make her bleed, so that's enough.
Theoretically, yeah. And Melissa?
Yeah?
All right, where's your mom?
Oh, she's here. I love my mom, but there's...
Well, why didn't she help stop this?
She was out. She was at home at the time. She found out later.
And why didn't... Is somebody going to file a report with someone?
No, it seems to me like she's almost scared of my dad.
Well, I think that's what everyone is. It sounds like that's what the brothers did.
Does he drink?
No, he's a very strict dad, period. He doesn't drink, he's against all that stuff.
And your big brothers, how old are they?
27, 24, and 23.
They don't live at home, do they?
The 27-year-old does, but just because he got laid off work because of surgery,
Surgery.
Do you have a good rapport with him?
With my dad?
The brothers.
Oh, I love my brothers, but ever since then, it's just...
Did you ask them, hey, what were you doing holding up the door jam while I was getting the crap beat out of me?
They tried to talk to me, but I wouldn't talk to anybody.
All right, well, now you can.
Yeah, but it's weird.
It is weird, but you need to talk to them.
Okay.
And what did your dad ever say to you about it after...
He threatens to do it all the time. Like,
by the way, it's a typical thing, which is for your own good. It's because I love you so much. And that's the crap they pull.
Yeah.
That's what all physical abusers do. And that reinforces the shame and the sense of sacrifice that she has to go through. She has to believe that it's because she needs it.
That
he's an all-powerful, all-knowing person. In fact, he's an out-of-control a-hole. Listen, you got to call... I'm going to give you a hotline and a call. I'll give you some more advice on how to keep going, how to follow this through, what to do. All right?
I've always been like worried to do that, though, because if I do
Well, but you can explore this in more detail.
You told the guy to F off a couple of days ago.
Well, it was last Thanksgiving, so whatever.
But you need to explore what your options are. And here's the number. 800.
Okay.
540.
Hang on, I have to get something to write down.
Drew, why don't you just tell him to go get a pen? Would you, Drew? Do you really think people have a steno pen up their ass?
If I ask them to, or if they say, hang on.
I know, but we go through this ritual every time. But hold on.
All right, how about I suppose the other ritual, which is, would you go with a pen? Hold on.
Listen, Ricky Retardo. Tell them at a certain point in the call, start tracking a pen down, and I'm going to keep talking.
Right on, right. Okay.
Here we go.
800-540.
4,000.
That's enough. You call that number.
Okay.
That'll do it, all right?
And how old are you?
15. But she sounds like she's 28.
Yeah, really?
I'm sorry your dad is this way, but listen, call that number.
Uh-huh.
Get your grades up so you can go far, far away to some lesbian college.
Good.
And stay out of your dad's crosshairs.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No more F-offs, even if it's under your breath. Just, yes sir, no sir, and just suck. Stay out of the guy's way.
For 3 years.
I'm sorry you have to do that, but, it's for your own safety.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, and don't hate all men.
I don't.
All right.
Just Adam.
Just me. Oh, man. What an... Imagine just, like, wailing away on your daughter.
You guys, so much of that in this country.
Really?
So much.
Yeah,
and people, if we open the lines up, people want to call and argue that that's a good thing. I swear to you.
That's only the blacks. It's not the white people. Black guys do that because they beat the crap out of their whole family and they think it's okay. You know that's true, Drew.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Well, now there won't be any phone calls anyway.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's a cultural thing.
Well,
that's
we used to see that. We used to see that, and where I grew up, they thank God never really kind of laid it on me. But I had friends that their fathers would beat them and they drank, and even fathers that didn't drink would beat their kids.
But think about how what those guys are doing now. The guys that were beaten.
Yeah,
it's not good.
They're doing sitcoms on UPN. They're not on ABC.
No, they're the executives we're talking about.
George's parents used to call his grandparents and ask that they beat him on their behalf every once in a while. But yeah, they couldn't. They were too well. They're
right. One time. Like right in the ass.
All right.
Trapped in a wash.
We're gonna take a little. Yeah, I got a friend. We're going to talk to George during the break. Why only Mexicans fall in the wash when it smells hot? How does that wash only draw the Mexicans?
We're
to
trying
it?
To get some of the tires that are going by.
Are you guys just doing your laundry when the flood hits, or what happens? All right.
They don't warn you when they release the water.
It's pouring. It's been pouring for 3 days. Stay away from the goddamn wash. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. George Lopez, we were just talking during the break. We were all complaining about how bad the 70s were.
We should all three all go out. We should complain.
Yeah, I think we could bring them right. We could bring them into our club.
You're on.
And we all get it, too. I mean, you know. I've never met Doctor before, man, and we're like right on the same. Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's perfect because I'm 37 and George is 40 and Drew is
43.
We have it nicely spaced. We have a sort of beginning, middle, and end of the decade. We're covered quite nicely.
70s covered, really.
Yeah, we have it covered. We're all about the same age, and we can all complain about the same thing, and it won't fall on deaf ears. We got to go out and hoist a beer one of these days and really do our complaining right where we have time.
Adam and I are good, too. Adam,
wings.
Adam's really good.
Yeah. Tell me. Monica?
Hi.
You're 16.
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Well, I masturbate, and I just want to know if I'm still basically a virgin or what's going on.
Did you use a penis to masturbate?
No, I haven't.
Well, then you're all right.
Then you're virgin.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, now you're not trying to maintain your virginity on some technicality. There's not other stuff you're doing with guys, are you?
No.
Okay. You're virgin.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No, I don't.
You
know. I was just wondering if, in any way, I mean, I could have like broken my hymen or something.
Well, the hymen is not really the true test of virginity because you could break your hymen riding a horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just growing up, as you grow, it happens sometimes.
All right. Well, cool. Thanks.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you're good. You're still okay.
Enjoy.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Enjoy.
Actually, the fact that she masturbates sort of puts her ahead of the game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. She sounds pretty perky, too.
Enjoy. I'll
put her hymen on my hit list, by the way. I've got a list of potential hymens I'd like to break. Yeah. My hymen hit list. Casey Kasem goes over my hymen hit list. Hymie was a little racial slur there. My hymen hit list every Sunday morning.
Beth, 16. Beth.
I'm down.
A request coming in from North Hollywood. Adam says he'd love to pop someone's cherry. Unfortunately, he's only slept with whores and tramps. This one's going out to you, Adam. This is Only Women Bleed by Alice Cooper.
Oh, my God.
It's the only hymen-related song I could think of.
Pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. Go ahead there, Beth.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Okay, I'm 16 years old, and I have a boyfriend who's 20. And I totally think he's the one I want to be with the rest of my life. And everything's great, and he thinks the same way as me. But unfortunately, when he was in high school, he had this girlfriend that he ended up having sex with. And it didn't really bother me at first, but unfortunately it kind of bothers me now. And I was trying to see how I could work past it.
Don't have a boyfriend who's 20.
Yeah.
Well,
that is way.
I can't really explain the situation because it doesn't, I don't know.
We can explain.
I don't know anything I'm not supposed to. I'm not physical at all.
With him?
Not him at all. We're not like that at all. I refuse to be like that until I'm married. And he regrets what he did in his past.
I love it when a guy apologizes for getting laid in the 11th grade.
No, he doesn't, Beth.
I knew it was wrong at the time.
No, he doesn't.
She made me.
Yeah, no way, Beth.
So he doesn't say that at all.
She pulled blood out of my flaccid penis.
He just says that he was, saved it for the right person.
All right. Is he a religious guy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Not like majorly, like not churchy or anything, but...
No, I know. But he tells you he's religious, and that's the important part. Is he working now?
Yeah, he works. It's, you know, not anything spectacular. He makes business cards.
He does?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's in love with you, and he treats you right.
Exactly.
And you haven't had sex yet?
Nope, not at all.
All right. Then you don't have to freak out about him getting a little in high school.
If you're gonna, if you're,
it kind of bothers me.
Well, listen,
that
if you're gonna,
like
Beth, if you're gonna insist on being a 20-year-old, you're gonna have a hell of a difficult time finding one who doesn't have a history like that. Essentially impossible.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. I'll just have to get past it.
Yeah, you do. Don't think about it. Just
you will.
We open with a call like this time with a guy bothered by something similar.
Quite honestly, it's refreshing to have hear a woman say this.
Yeah.
Really?
I love it when women, because women don't normally, women are like, I've heard women say stuff to guys who were like, they wanted to settle down with, but the guy wasn't ready. They're like, oh, I wish he'd just gotten laid a few dozen more times, you know, before we got together. Right. Then he'd have it out of his head. It's like, geez, you're hoping he'd gotten his... Schwantz went a couple more times before he got with you.
Hepatitis or something.
Would have been great. Yeah. It's like, can I do it now or is that not going to count? Or? All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show. Where did the time go? I want to thank George Lopez for coming in here.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
We had a good time with you, George, and would like to welcome you back anytime. Much luck and continued success with the show, the George Lopez Show, ABC, 8:30, Wednesday nights. And Sarah Silverman will be in here from Greg the Bunny and many other projects tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Telling you, I don't do a lot of things well, but one thing I do is I know how to please. Oh, God, we got to stop.